As I was just really, I take opportunities to read my own books, and I was reading a chapter last week on established in the faith, chapter 5, and I'd really encourage you to go back over that and read that chapter. That chapter is very dear to my heart, and that's in faith on trial, established in the faith. And I think that, and I'm getting a little bit of feedback, guys. I think that that chapter may be an afterthought for some people and think, well, that, but I'd really encourage you to get in it, read it, study it, go through it, take notes on it. Like somebody told me once, I think that was Jerry and Lynette, we're taking notes on this. We use it as our Bible study. It's like, praise the Lord, what a blessing. I appreciate that, but God appreciates you getting the word in your heart, and you can use it. But when I was writing this, it just started coming by the Spirit about being established in the faith. And really, we'll go into it more, but Philip preached on the kingdom of God. He preached Jesus, and he preached the kingdom. But most people don't understand, well, what do you mean by the kingdom? And the disciples, Paul, they preached in Christ realities. And see, some of the wording we don't always understand. When we say in Christ realities, we're really talking about the reality that we're healed, that we have a threefold redemption, the reality that we're prospered, the reality that we're saved, we're forgiven. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into a new kingdom. And when Philip was preaching about the kingdom of God, they had a revelation that the kingdom is within you. And that kingdom is Jesus Christ living within you, which is the grace of God in you, the power of God to accomplish your redemptive rights and privileges. And you've been empowered to prosper through that grace. You're healed by that grace. Really, you're healed because Jesus took sickness on the cross. So being established in these things, not just for ourselves. See, that's what we're talking about. We're established in them so that we can walk in them for ourselves, so that we can use our authority for our families and get them to our children. Your children are watching you. And they'll grow up. And, if you're spending a lot of time on the internet watching things, if you're taking a lot of time watching just, different TV programs, they're going to follow suit. And really, we'll all answer at that judgment day. I'm talking about all of us. I'm not trying to preach a condemnation message, but I'm saying they're watching that. So you being established in the faith, meditating on the scriptures, making sure that your children see that you're taking time daily with the Lord, you're praying over your food. They even hear you in your bedroom at times praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're not afraid. Your home should be your refuge. And I'm not saying that you're weird about it. You're going to the dinner table, but at the same, and you do fun things. you understand, and you can watch a program, but just make sure it's edifying. And that thing. But being established in the faith is really having it first and foremost in your home, living the life, making sure that you're using that for the departments of your local church. But it's just not a Bless Me Club. We're supposed to reach out to the uttermost parts of Jerusalem, which is outside of the city of Cedar Rapids, and also to the uttermost parts of the world. We're supposed to take the gospel, and we know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what gives us that boldness to do that, right? Let me read a scripture here in Colossians 2. So that's what we're talking about, established in the faith, but not just for ourselves, for other people. I'm going to get to the scripture any minute now. Well, I'll just go ahead and read it. It says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So how are you established in the faith? Well, really, we're talking about faith, the foundation of God's Word, believing in His Word. And we're talking about thanksgiving. So we're talking about using that faith, acting on that faith by speaking it, by thanking God just by doing the word, so to speak. But we get the word in our heart, then we speak it out of our mouth. We thank God that it's working in our life. And then we're able to be examples to our families. We're able to be examples to those in the local church. We're able to minister to those who are coming through these doors at all different levels of their faith. I'm not talking about being parking lot prophesiers or that type of thing, but or prophesying, thus saith the Lord, this is the job you're going to get next week or this. But just being an encouragement, just walking in love, just shaking hands, loving on people. If you find out somebody's going through a hard time, you know, slipping them a 5 or 10 or a 50 or 100 or whatever, getting them groceries, whatever. That's what we do in the body of Christ. We're established in the faith ourselves, but we're constantly using that faith to bless others in the body. But then also, when we come in contact with other people, and God's been dealing with me, there are different seasons in my life. It seems like I'm just going around like a chicken with my head cut off, so to speak. You understand? You're in a hurry. Everything we're doing is in a hurry. So if somebody does come across our path that needs to know about Jesus, that God's dealing with us, we're like, bless you, Lord. Or, you know, we're driving through the drive line. Bless you. Well, they don't understand that. We have to take some time, just like Philip did on that Gaza Strip with that eunuch. He was a man, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip said, he asked him about what he was reading, and the man said, who can understand this? And so Philip got up into his chariot and started telling this man, he preached Jesus from the book of Isaiah. So we need to know the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. Especially, you know, he was ministering, was the eunuch man, was he a Greek or a Jew? Anybody know? Well, anyway, the thing is, he was reading, what's that? Ethiopia. Okay. So he was from a different country, but at the same time, he was reading, you know, the book of Isaiah. We need to understand that even if you're going to get a Jew saved, that you're going to have to know Christ in the Old Testament. So we don't just boot it out. And there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that will bless us, but you need to know the types and the shadows and what points to Christ. You need to understand these things. And when Paul is referring about prophecies, for instance, Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 there, Isaiah is prophesying, but then we go into Matthew 8, 17, and it talks about Jesus went to heal all infirmities. And he was talking about what Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And it talked there in Matthew 8, 17 about that. And then you go into 1 Peter 2:24, and again, they're talking about by Jesus' stripes we're healed. Clear back from what Isaiah said. So we need to understand that they had a covenant back in the Old Testament. We need to understand about that covenant. And then we need to understand how to be, just simply, in light of the New Testament, how to explain healing to somebody. You understand? And so we need to be established in the faith. And that's one of the reasons why I would write a book, by the instruction of the Lord, on the trial of our faith. And every single chapter is about faith and different subjects of faith. It tells you how to get healed. It tells you how to overcome. And, I mean, just the first chapter blesses me because it's basically a synopsis of the whole book. So you read the first chapter because I'm one of those who I had creative writing classes and different things in school. And the first, and I know you're supposed to do a synopsis or a, what do you call it? Summary, thank you, in the first chapter. And then you're supposed to kind of take the end of the chapter and do a summary. I don't do that as much in the Divine Healing book, but we do that in the Faith on Trial book. So anyway, we need to understand how to tell people how to get saved. We need to understand how to tell people how to get healed. We need to understand how to tell people how to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And just basically how to walk in victory. Now, I was reminded of when Teresa was dealing with the symptoms of cancer. Remember that? She's completely free of that, completely whole and healed. Praise the Lord. But when she was dealing with that, she went to the doctor's office and she met Shelby. Remember Shelby? And Shelby became a part of our church congregation and was a wonderful gal and grew with us. And I'm not sure, Shelby was already saved, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost and maybe, yeah. But Teresa, in the midst of her own trial, would minister to Shelby, and Shelby was watching her life, and Teresa invited her to come to church, and different ones, I'm reminded, have met people in restaurants and what have you, and they started to come to church, they ministered to them themselves, really, and, you know, Shelby started coming in, then she moved away, I think she moved to Florida or Texas, okay, and I don't know if you've heard from her, like, she'd every now and then give us a buzz and tell us how she's doing, yeah. But the thing is, through our own trial, we can still be ministering to others. I've been of the thought before, and I'm sure you've dealt with this. You're dealing with sickness and disease or something. Well, when I get through this, then I'll minister to others. Dad Hagen used to talk about he couldn't even rub two pennies together at one point. He would teach prosperity. There were times when Pastor Jay and I, we were teaching and preaching all over the countryside, and there were times we couldn't even pay for our own gas. I mean, we had some miraculous things, but we just kept teaching it. We kept preaching it until we finally got it ourselves. I mean, I understand Pastor Jay said the other day that he didn't think he needed to go to Bible school. You know, he just wanted to go get people saved, but then he realized he didn't really know how to get people saved. So in that respect, it's good that we're getting the Word. It's good that we're getting foundation. It's good that, you know, please avail yourself of the classes that we teach on the foundations of, what's that called? The Getting a Grip classes, what I'm referring to, but Divine Health and Healing class, Getting a Grip, it takes you through the foundational things of your Christian walk. It's important. I mean, even when you're becoming a member of the church, which you understand, if you're just coming all the time, we just consider you a member, but, you know, just go ahead and be official and come on to the membership class. We're going to treat you the same anyway. Do you have a membership badge? You know, there are certain perks, but to be honest with you, I'd probably bless you anyway, even if you're not a member, so whatever. And I'm not talking about, you know, come and ask us to pay your light bill and all that type of stuff. That's the social services down the street, okay? We're supposed to preach and teach the Word of God. And we teach people how, like the one man said, you know, you can teach people to fish, or you can. You can give them a fish and they can eat for one day, or you can teach them to fish and they'll eat for a lifetime. Thank you. Yeah, I was saying that so fast that it left my mind. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so it's important to help people to be established in the faith, but we can't do it for you. There's so many things, the bookstore there, hand-picked things that have blessed our lives, and just avail yourself. Paul and Barnabas, they would start churches, they would preach and teach the Word and get people established, but then they didn't just leave that church to grow on its own. They would go back many times and lay hands on the believers and impart unto them and teach and preach, and there were a lot of individuals coming in teaching wrong doctrine and what have you. You can just imagine what they had to deal with back in that day and age, even more so than what we do. And it's bad enough today, you understand. But Paul, in Galatians, that's what the whole book of Galatians is about. You're so easily removed from the truth. Why are you allowing these guys to come in and take you away from the truth? They're deceiving you. And, you know, I'm your father. You're supposed to, you know, do as I do. Follow my example of faith, so to speak. So we can give you an example, but we can't walk it out for you. Understand that. So are we, first of all, growing in our own faith? But is it a bless me club? And are we so consumed with our own lives and what we need that we forget the people around us? I was at Lowe's last night paying for appliances and other things because, you know, we're building a house. And the gal made a mistake, and we've become good friends. You know, I've been there over several weeks buying different things, and, you know, then I don't buy everything at Lowe's by any means, but I was getting all my appliances and different things. We got our Pella windows through them and what have you, so they've gotten to know me. We're getting our granite through them, you understand. But she had made a mistake, and I haven't asked her, just to make a long story, try to make it shorter. it was several hundred dollars. And I'd written the check out and didn't realize the mistake that it didn't add up to the amount for the construction. And I got to looking at it, it was several hundred dollars over. It's like, okay, wait a minute, we got to get this fixed. I need a refund here, and I'll write you out another check. And they weren't able to do that. So it went in today, and I had to spend time, you know, letting the bank know and fixing it and all that, and they're going to give me a reimbursement check. But she just felt terrible, and I know that, I don't think she's watching tonight, so we're all good, but it's not a bad report, it's a good one. I just said, look, we've all made mistakes. I said, I work with numbers every day with this house project, and I've made mistakes before, so just... You're okay. It's all right. But her husband is going into surgery and different things are happening. And I said, hey, it's all right. And I just, before I left, after an hour and a half or 2 hours of being there, dealing with this situation, I just went over to her and I gave her a big hug and I said, don't worry about it. It's all good. All right? Amen. Well, what did you do about the several hundred dollars? It's coming. I mean, what am I going to stress over it? It's not going to get it in my hand any quicker. Fine, so I have to take it out of, you know, my own monies and make sure it's into the construction account. Then, but they'll give me my money. And I told her, I don't really know where you live, but I know where you work. Okay, so I'll get my money. I'm not. She, you know, just making them laugh. But people are watching us. And I've learned just don't get stressed about these things, and don't let other people see you handling it in a stressed way. Yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was pretty tired when I was there last night. The last thing I wanted to do is, you know, spend 2 hours at Lowe's, okay? I wasn't in the market to buy hammers and things like that. I just didn't want to stay around. But I found things to do. I was looking at cabinets or whatever and just endeavoring to stir myself up, and I was tired. I wanted to go home. And because of that, it kind of pushed me back to where I was up very late working on cabinets that I had to turn in this morning because I'm designing the cabinets through an online place, just in case you wanted to know. And I'm like, Lord, I'm tired, but you give me strength. You refresh me. You help me through all of this. And I thank you for that. And, you know, it's several times throughout my day, I've just noticed either I knew somebody was praying for me because I just noticed a supernatural strength beyond my ability, or the fact that I'm just trusting God myself, to be honest with you, which I do. But you didn't sign up for certain things. You know, I've talked to you about that before. I didn't sign up for everything that happened in my day. But you learn to be established. You learn to be rooted and grounded. Other people are watching you. So if you're falling apart, if you're, you know, we'll get to a scripture here. If you're falling apart, if you're getting upset at somebody, oh, I can't believe you did that. You know, we're going to go under because you charged me over. Well, I did what I could do to get the refund, but when I realized it wasn't going to happen and they weren't going to give me my check back, you know, we weren't going to be fighting over the check, that I realized, okay, I'll get home. I got to write a long email, explain it all, got to call a couple people. Well, it all, and then this morning when I wanted to be sleeping, they were calling me to work it out. So it's praise the Lord. But it got done, okay? And a little bit extra work on my part, but it got done. And the thing is, the person who made the mistake, I didn't give them a hard time. I didn't create havoc in their day. You understand? And that's important that they know I'm a pastor, but they know I'm a Christian. And they don't, they should not be seeing me pulling my hair out over this stuff. They should not be seeing me, well, bless God, I can't believe you made that mistake. What do you think I am, a money bank? Well, I'm not going to react that way. And we have to watch our reactions. People are watching us. What are we established in? Okay? It's important. I'm going to read a few things out of this chapter because I'm blessed by it. So when we are continually strengthened or rooted in the knowledge of God's word by right teaching, we become more established in faith's understanding. We progress in light and see the importance of having a strong belief system. Furthermore, as we actively apply these beliefs, then we walk in our redemptive rights and privileges in Christ. In turn, we will help to establish others in walking in these same in Christ realities. And I think that it's we have to stir ourselves up. If you're dealing with even a major trial in your life, don't just lay down ministering to others. Don't just lay down your love walk. I mean, you need your love walk more than, I'm telling you, if you're dealing with sickness and disease, just be sweet to everybody. It doesn't matter. If somebody comes and spits in your face, I love you. I love you. I'm just telling you, sickness and disease gravitates to offense. It just gravitates to offense. So I'm just trying to help you. I'm not, Andre, this is for you. You know, I'm not, okay. It's for all of us. Okay, it's for all of us. Yeah. Many people want to experience the blessing of God, but they are not willing to set their minds and hearts on the right things in order to be firmly fixed. They are not willing to look and attend to God's word until they get to the place that it infiltrates their minds and hearts, and then they readily flow in a faith that comes from an established heart. But what I'm trying to say is, even if you're dealing with major trials, like I was, you know, Shelby, for instance, she saw Teresa going through a trial. She probably knew more about that situation because she works with people every day that are dealing with cancer and symptoms of that, what have you. But she watched Teresa's example. And trust me, if Teresa wouldn't have been a good example, last thing she would have wanted to do is come to the church that Teresa goes to. But she was watching her through it. And I think she even made a statement to you that, you know, how can you be so happy? How can you be so joyful in the midst of this? Well, I know what I know. That's... And you weren't just trying to preach and teach all the time, but you let her open up by watching your lifestyle. Because that's important. Amen? So let's look here a little bit at Philip when he preached Christ. Let me read this. In these next paragraphs, we see clear illustrations of how Philip was used to establish believers or bring new converts in the truth of believing in Christ. He took the needed time and helped to build their faith on a firm foundation of God's word, a foundation of belief that could be strengthened and reinforced in the years of spiritual growth ahead. He simply preached Jesus and the principles of the kingdom of God, and as a result, they took a stand of faith. They believed on Jesus. We see in Acts 8, 5, and 6, while preaching in Samaria, and it says in Acts 8, 5, and 6 there, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now notice that. He preached Christ unto them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Likewise, we see in Acts 8:12. It says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, before we read there, he preached Christ unto them, and then also, and that was in Acts 8, 5 and 6, but when you went down to the verse 12, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Now, the thing is, preaching Christ to them, if you go to somebody and say, I just preach Christ to you, now, would you like to get saved? Well, I think we're going to have to fill in the blank a little bit there. I think, and so it didn't tell us, but we know he told them the story of Christ. And when it says he preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, well, basically it said he's preaching that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He obviously was preaching about Christ came here to the earth, and you know, he died on the cross, and if you can receive him, you can receive forgiveness of sin, predominantly the sin of not receiving Jesus, and all of your sin will be washed away. So he told some stories in there. He gave them some background. You understand? And he needed to know about the Old Testament at that time because he was ministering to a lot of people who that's all they knew. So he had to know the types and shadows that pointed to Christ. And so it wasn't just, I preach Jesus to you. Okay, are you ready to get baptized now? And many times we're afraid to minister or preach Jesus to people because we don't know what to say to them. But that's all you have to say. You have to know the story. And just get it down in your spirit. That's why we teach the children, just at a young age, the stories of the New Testament and Jesus' ministry and so on. So learn the story. And learn the scriptures. Just be simple enough to say, you know, in Isaiah, he talks about he took away the old heart, or Ezekiel. Sorry, I said Isaiah. He took away the old heart and he put in a new heart. But we can let people know in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of Christ living in them. But according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. And we let people know that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you go to Romans 10:9-10, if you just confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. See, I went through about three different scriptures there in explaining to them what we need to do. And what you need to do, basically, is just like Romans 10:9-10 there, do you believe that he died and he raised from the dead? Do you believe in Christ? Well, now just receive him in your heart by saying, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Become my Lord. Wash away all my sin, Lord. And then you tell them, see, Christ, he comes to live inside of you. And you have a power inside of you now. You have an ability to walk free from sin now. So just now, just thank God that he's the Lord of your life. And if you sin from this time on, just ask him to forgive you. And you've got grace. And explain to them, when it's talking about the kingdom of God living inside of you, basically what it's talking about is the grace of God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So we have to be established in these scriptures to explain to people. If I would have had time, but what we're going to do is get together. We have a booklet, part of our manual, that tells people what to do to get someone saved, what to do to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, even what to do to minister healing to them. And what we're going to do, I want to talk to Pastor Jay, I want to make that available to everybody in the church. Because we ought to be established, not only, you see, I know most of you are all saved, but you need to know how to get somebody else saved. So it's okay to go at the end of a book and get the prayer of salvation and meditate on it, and then go get someone saved. Or many times in the back of the book, in our books, you also, there's a prayer to receive the Holy Ghost, so on and so forth. If you want to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not real difficult to do that. You basically take them to Acts chapter 2, and you tell them, well, let's just go there real quick. So being established in the faith, you get to the place where it just flows out of your spirit. And there was a point in time where I was afraid. Yeah. 7:42, okay, we're doing all right. I was afraid to, it's like, oh no, Lord, don't bring somebody that needs to get saved. I don't know how to get them saved. But here I am saved, going to Bible school. Now, Pastor Jay and I were teaching in healing school at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and people would come to get saved every now and then, or get filled with the Holy Ghost. And we had one usher who is a pastor, and I won't even tell you where he's pastoring right now because I don't want to shut him in a bad light, but he, you know, he's a wonderful pastor. But he was the usher helping us at that time. And so we told him, you need to take this person back and get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. And he was an usher, he was in Bible school, and he didn't know how to get somebody saved or filled with the Holy Ghost. So we sat down with the person, got him saved, got him filled with the Spirit, and what have you. And so we showed him. And then I talked to him afterwards. Did you see what we did? Okay, well, next time, it's yours. Okay. I wasn't just going to let him get by with letting us do all the work. When we first started pastoring here, back at the church there, what, yeah, 33rd Street or whatever, Classic Car Court, we had that little room in the back. Remember, we squeezed all the children in the in that one room? When they were bad, we just put them in there, yeah. No, there's no bad children. We're all good. We don't call children bad. But we had this small little room. Don remembers because you were in charge of the children. And every now and then she'd come out and her hair was like this. Help, Pastor. Are we going to get a new room anytime soon? It's a-coming. It's a-coming. And but I just appreciate because she just was faithful for some years and still is, but just, you know, working in other areas. But praise the Lord. sowing seeds. Seeds of righteousness. Amen. But anyway, I had another little room that I go get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I had to bring other people in there to show them how to do it. If you remember, Pastor Ike Akabogu, I thought that he knew how to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that he had never gotten somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. And I told him, take this, you know, those people back and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, Brother Ike. He's not going to tell you, I don't know what to do. He's like, yes, ma'am, I'll sure do that. So, I'd like to have a video of that time. But sure enough, he got him filled with the Holy Ghost. I can just, you know, I can just see the video. Turn it loose. You know, say abracadabra several times. Say, somebody stole my Honda. Somebody stole my Honda. Somebody stole my Honda. No, I don't know if he did all that, but he managed to get him filled with the Holy Ghost, and he really was somebody that after a while we were able, and he had an anointing on his life, still does. He would do youth meetings, what have you, and 10 of them would get filled with the Holy Ghost at one time. So anyway, praise the Lord. You have to know the joke about somebody stole my Honda. They were praying for it was a man or a woman, so I'll just say they were praying for a dear sister in the church to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had ridden a Honda motorcycle to the church, and it was out there in the parking lot. And anyway, they didn't get the person to yield to the prayer language, so when they went outside, they noticed that somebody had stole their motorcycle. And they start saying, somebody stole my Honda, somebody stole my Honda. You got it, you got it, you got it. How many know they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They were just in anxiety about somebody stole my Honda. So, I don't know what Brother Ike did back there, but they, as far as I know, got filled. I don't know. I guess maybe we'll hear some stories sometime in the future. I can just see Brother Ike. You got it. Hurry up. I got things to do. Yeah. All right. But if we'll... did we ever read Acts 2? All right. We're getting there. We have 13 minutes left. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what you do, you take somebody to the Scripture, and you tell them the Holy Ghost doesn't pray in tongues. You've got to yield. The Holy Ghost comes on you, and you yield in another tongue, and he gives you utterance. And you can lay hands on him, and there's several scriptures along that line that you need to avail yourself of. And like I said, I want to make that available, so we'll talk to me about that, and we'll just get it ready, and we'll make it available. Right now, I just at this point in time, I'm not putting anything else on my schedule, but we'll get that ready for y'all, and we'll probably just... give you the manual. I don't care. Whatever. Whatever is easiest. Okay? Just talk to me about it sometime and we'll figure it out. Okay? And they were all filled with spirit, began to speak with tongues. So you could also take them to John 7, right? And 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And you can explain to somebody that the salvation experience is talking about springs coming up. But the rivers is talking about you yielding in your spirit, but then that like a river coming over and on you. And it's a subsequent experience. It's a second experience from salvation, from receiving Christ, that you yield to another tongue. The Holy Ghost gives you utterance, just like Acts 2 said there. And you lay hands on them, and you basically just say, okay, now that utterance will come up, and you just start speaking that out by faith. And I'll even start praying in tongues myself. And if many times they're kind of scared to say it. Sometimes, a lot of times they'll yield right there. But if they don't, I tell them, okay, on your way home, or when you're by yourself, you just start, just speak out words. Speak it out. Many times they start thanking God, and I said, that's all good. It's good to thank God, but you need to speak out different utterances that the Holy Ghost has given you, and you don't have to have a whole sentence or whatever. And what you do is you start in the morning by just take 5 minutes and pray in your prayer language, and you'll develop it. So you need to teach them. You got to need fill in the blanks. Don't just say, okay, you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Be filled. Fill in the blanks. All right, so real quickly, I'm going to read some things here. Philip preaches Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip left Samaria and went on to follow the Lord's leading to preach. Well, let's go on here. Yeah. You know that he got in the chariot with him. Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch and said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." So what's he talking about? If you believe what? What did Philip mean by the statement, "if you believe"? Basically, he was telling the man, based on the scriptures and the story of Jesus I have taught you, you must choose to believe on Jesus with your heart. Luke emphasized similar principles in both stories about Philip. The stories reveal that Philip was knowledgeable about the story of Jesus and the ways of the kingdom of God, and he was available to go preach and ground others in these beliefs. Now listen up here, because this is important. On a side note, Philip started out as a deacon or servant in the early church. He was a faithful steward in helps ministry, and God was able to move Philip to his call as a powerful evangelist because of his faithfulness. As spoken in Acts 6:3, Philip and the other seven who were chosen to help serve were all men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Philip did not shirk his responsibilities to serve in his local church as well as share Christ. In the midst of his service, he stayed full of the Word and Spirit and grew in the wisdom of God. Therefore, God was able to use him in more. So just go back over that chapter. I wasn't able to, we have 9 minutes. Okay. Countdown. 13, 12, 11. It's imperative for every believer to become skilled in receiving all the blessings of their salvation here in this life. They need to learn about their rights and privileges in Christ and how to live in victory, and then they need to teach others accordingly. And that's what we're talking about. We get afraid to tell people how to get saved. We get afraid to how to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask Anne if you can go back and watch her get somebody saved or somebody filled. And we're believing God that a lot more people are getting saved and a lot more people are getting filled. Sometimes we go, you know, it may be a little bit of time in between, but are you in faith with us that the angels of God are influencing people? And yeah, people are getting saved. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you want to ask her, hey, can I go back with you and learn from this? First, we need to be grounded in the principles of God's word in order to receive all of his promises. Now, you understand you can't take the whole church back there, but, well, anyway, I just thought I would insert that. So we need to be grounded in the principles of God's word in order to receive all of his promises for our own personal lives and families. And just as importantly, we need to be able to share these truths with skill, simplicity, so that others may receive and be established.
Yeah. Yeah.
So skill is just really learning clearly the simplistics. For instance, sometimes we think of prayer, it's like, oh, we're really going to get deep. But like I said, Monday morning or Monday afternoon when I led prayer, I said, okay, are y'all ready for the simple things of prayer? Because we just need to know how to pray. Start out by praying for our leadership. Praying, how do we pray for the services? Go to Acts 4 and pray boldness and utterance in Him that He would stretch forth His hand to heal and that signs and wonders would be wrought. That we're delivered from evil men and women, and that the word of God would go forth swiftly, be magnified, so on and so forth. So we need to emphasize praying unction for the minister that's coming, like Reverend Roberts, praying for utterance and unction for our pastors, understanding that the doors that our pastors go into, we go into as well. So pray for revelation in order to go into those things, and that the pastor would have the revelation of God. So just being simple, and we went through the scriptures and prayed the Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, and went through, and who do you pray for? Well, what I do is I put the president and Miss First Lady Melania in there, and I usually, sometimes I will even say the Congress and the Republican and, you know, the rats and all this. I just had to put that in. You just pray for everybody, okay? I don't, Republican, Democrat, whatever. You just pray for them. Independent. And then, of course, we put our pastor's name in there. We put her family, Dufresne Ministries, Pastor Jay, I take it for myself. We put our congregation. I even pray for those. The online Bible school, J. Eberly Ministries, those that are watching by live stream. It's when you get this, it's not hard. You just, because you're driving along and you're just thanking God. And so we need to just the simple things of prayer. And then we yield to the Holy Ghost to pray out. And we talked about praying for the lost. So being established, we need to know how to be established and just how to pray, how to get somebody saved, how to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, how to get somebody healed. If you're attending the basics class and what have you, you're going to be learning these things. But you don't just memorize it all. It's something that comes by practice. And I like to put Katie, I love to put Katie on the spotlight here. But years ago, she was, is she not here? Did she? Yeah, well, that's good. Anyway, she knows that I like to use this illustration. She was talking to me about getting somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, and how Matt was, she and Matt were sitting in the car with this couple, and she was explaining to them how to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And Matt looked at her and said, "You're confusing me." So it took her a while, you know, to get, but at least she got out there. So you learn, and if it's confusing, then you say, well, I guess we better go to the scriptures. And I think back at that time, she called us and said, how do you do this? Or she talked to Aunt. That's just what you got to do. I mean, we led a prayer group for quite a few years. But I remember the time that they wanted us to teach on intercession, the difference between intercession and supplication. So we went to a gal, her name's Linda Cheek. Her and her husband are now pastoring in Sweden, I believe. But we went to her house, and we had concordances and Bibles and everything laying all over the place. And we're like, we're going to find out how to teach on intercession and supplication. And, I mean, isn't that funny? I think we just made it hard. But we had to learn to get it simple. So study to show yourselves approved. You know, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly divining. Well, that's what we were rightly divining the truth, and we finally got it. But if you can just imagine, we were, well, praise the Lord. We only handle God's word correctly when we are able to apply truths to our own lives and teach others by precept and example. For instance, we can say to someone, just believe for your healing, but that leaves them hanging and may be confusing. There are steps to this believing process that must be, you know, if you just say, you just need to believe for your healing. What does that mean? Maybe they don't understand. Maybe you ought to get in their chariot and go over. There are steps to the believing process that must be individually understood with the heart. They must be established in faith in order to effectively receive healing, prosperity, forgiveness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the promises of their salvation. We need first-hand understanding on how to access all the blessings, and then we can tell others based on what we believe and walk in. We can be examples and help to instruct others because we have a solid foundation of God's Word. In other words, the fruit is showing up in our lives. But it's important that we don't shirk our responsibility because we don't understand. And you get in the Scriptures, call somebody, tell them, hey, come with me, I need to get so-and-so saved. Can you show me how to do this? That's why we need pastors and all our ministry gifts. They bring the light of the gospel by teaching congregations how to believe and how to successfully share their faith with others. If you'll notice, Brother Roberts is wonderful at that. I mean, he just the light of teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, light of teaching on salvation and the gifts, and I just got so blessed. We're all supposed to be able to do Mark 16:15-20. That's just not for ministers. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or you could say share the gospel, or exhort. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, so you should understand that really it's talking about threefold redemption in there. And a scripture like that that says believers need to go do this, you need to understand. So start studying out everything in there. Okay, lay hands on the sick. Okay, cast out devils. And get to understand. That's why we teach on these things. Get the Divine Healing and Health book and read the chapters. But also the part two of that talks about specifically laying hands on the sick. It talks about the endowments and so you're understanding what a tangible healing anointing is. You're understanding just praying the prayer of faith or ministering with an anointing. So get these materials and study them out. Amen. Well, why don't you stand up? I went 1 minute over. So that was in my heart to just encourage people. And like I said, that chapter is very precious to me, just going through that and reminding myself, okay, don't be so busy in my day that I'm not reaching out. And as a pastor, I probably have more opportunity to reach out to those in the congregation, which I can't meet with everybody on a Wednesday night or everybody during the week. But if somebody truly needs it, And I love to do that. I love to sit down with people, and we like to get to solutions. And we pray with them. We minister the anointing to them. If they need help and I can help them and I'm led by the Spirit, then we do so. And no kudos on myself. I'm not trying to shed myself in a good light over anybody else, but that's what we do. And Pastor Jay and I, there's things going on behind the scenes all the time. Canceling people's bills in the daycare, this and that. And, you know, there are things that a lot of people don't know because we're not up here saying, did you know what we did this week? Okay, so we're all supposed to be so established in this that we can go and help others and minister to others. Can't carry them. I tell people all the time, can't do it for you, but if you'll work with me, if you come to healing class, if you come to the next level class, if you come do these, then I will go the extra mile. I will help you. But you got to show me, you know, show me the money. Show me the money. No, not the money like offerings. I'm saying show me that you mean it and you're doing something about it. I'm not saying they're paying for it. You understand? Anyway, moving right along. Some of you, well, never mind. You got it. Thanks. I appreciate it. That was not a good illustration, okay? But because I'm not asking people to show me the money. I'm asking them, do something. Do something. Amen. Well, let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. And I would just like each one of you, just taking a minute here, and just consecrate your heart. And let's get a little background. You know, we need the mood going on here. Yeah. And just consecrate in your heart, just yielding to the anointing, yielding to what God's dealing with you about, and say, Lord, just help me. Help me to see areas that I need to be more established in for my own self, for my own family. And just I consecrate to start checking my heart and looking around me. Because the kingdom of God is within me, therefore the Holy Ghost is within me, leading me and guiding me and directing me. The Spirit so desires to reach out in a depth that we have not even known, but yet it's so simple, of sharing the faith of Christ to others around you. Sharing healing and health, sharing prosperity, sharing your redemptive rights and privileges in me. Pero tu shandala basta. So become skilled in these things and ask me, and I will show you what you need to do. I will show you how to reach out to the lost. I will show you how to reach out to those who are hurting. I will well up within you if you'll ask me and yield to me in prayer, and the compassion of God will become on you. In instances, you will have compassion that wells up, and words will flow out of you because of that compassion. And I will heal, and my anointing will break the yoke of bondage because you were available, just like Philip, just like the other disciples were available. And I moved in miracles and signs and wonders, and the church grew daily as a result of it. Oh, Father, mandora shalalabasi kidede orshenene mahasa kayakita. So we draw from within, Lord. We draw from within to be examples, to be stewards, to be available. And what we don't know, you show us. In the moment, we don't yield to fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And if we don't know something, we just tell somebody, you know what? I'm going to get back with you. I'm going to go study that out, and I'm going to help you in there, in that area. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us to see, to reach out to one another and be there for one another when our friends are ministering to someone. Being available. Being available. Being established. Taking it into our world. We thank you for it, Lord. You're so faithful. You're so merciful. May we get a vision of reaching out to the lost with the love of Christ. Reaching out to those who are hurting with the love of Christ. And that's why this church will grow. We thank you for it. O mahasi kohoshe de la bohosatala hasikete de bohosakai. Oh, we walk in your wisdom, Father. We walk in your wisdom, Father, and we go into depths of the Spirit that we have not known before, but yet it's so simple. It's all based on your word and the leading of the Spirit of God. We're established in the faith. Hallelujah. 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 It's a joy. It's a joy. It's a joy. It's addictive. It's addictive. Hallelujah. 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 Well, there's so much more there that's, wow, so much, so much. But God's good. He's getting us there. Let's just be available. Let's be available. And we're getting there. And there are seasons in our life that, you know, right now this is a season. It's like, Lord, there's so many other things I want to be doing right now. But we're just faithful to what we have to do at the time. But yet, we're not running around and not taking time and missing out on God being able to use us to minister to others. Amen. We love you. We appreciate you. We're going to let you go because we want the individuals to go ahead, and because people are getting saved and ministered to tomorrow. And It's all coming to pass. My, what candy can do. Games and candy. So be in prayer with us and believing with us. Salvations are wrought in Jesus' name. Love you. Appreciate you.